while I was in, like, when I first came to America, it was, like, a summer. So I just learned, like, American English through, like, watching Power Rangers.
Mm.
So I would, like, talk with this, like, like, we got a sharpener and a pencil. And everyone would be like, yo, this kid is fucking crazy.
Excuse me. Can I go to the bathroom?
Real talk like that. Like, I would just talk like that. And everyone was like, yo, you got to calm down.
You got to mix up your television habits.
Yeah, yeah.
Opie Olabayju.
What's up? What's up?
I almost did it again. I almost said Olabayju.
It's Olabayju.
Olabayju.
But you just call me Opie. Like, yeah, like last names aren't important. Nah, it's all good. Yes. Thanks for having me, y'all.
No, thanks for coming. And then we were talking about how you were, you were born in D.C., Maryland?
No, I was born in Nigeria. Born in Enugu in 1989.
Nice.
Enugu, Nigeria. Yeah.
Oh wow. And then, so how long went it until you came to the U.S.?
When did you emigrate?
Or how long? Yeah.
I was six. I was six. 1996. We came. My mom and dad. They won the visa lottery.
Yeah.
So
right on.
Yeah, we got super lucky.
That's another thing, by the way. I don't know if people don't, because I think Americans have no idea.
Yeah.
The visa lottery,
you know, they don't know. Yeah, you see this.
No right. idea.
Yeah, they didn't grow up in that. Because everybody's trying to come here.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a couple of years when you're going to have to be like, can I get to China or Russia?
Or in Canada.
Yeah. Then you're going to have
you
to
guys
experience.
Will need it.
It's like, oh, we got more Americans now coming.
They're not bringing their best. Yeah. They're not bringing their best.
but yeah, that's it is literally a lottery, right? Like,
yeah,
you apply.
Straight up. So it's like you gotta apply. My mom was kind of my dad didn't want to go, so my mom just applied for him and her. So he had no idea he was like in the lottery.
Ah,
this is probably gonna be deported. But my mom filled out the form for him, and then he won and she didn't. So then he brought me. Because you can bring two people with you.
Yeah.
So it was me and my older sister, and we came and we moved.
Wait a minute. She filled it out for him, but then he won and went on leaving you behind.
Yeah. Yeah. She was just like, I want you to leave and so I can just go run amok in Lagos.
It's like when you give somebody a gift of like two concert tickets and they're like, oh, I'm going to take somebody else.
Yeah, basically.
They gave it to you so that you could take me.
Basically.
Which is also, that's kind of, in a way, a little similar to like my parents' story. We didn't win the lottery, but my mom applied to like this job for the Pan American Health Organization, which is back in D.C. And like, but it was the same thing. I think my dad applied for her, or like he's like, "Hey, you should do it." And then like they kind of forgot about it, and then she got it. You know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of like that a little bit.
Yeah, like it's the lot. When you say like lottery, it sounds like kind of sexy and like, like you like go to like a convenience store. And
you
like,
have
oh,
to
you're
scratch.
Going to America.
Exactly. If you get three American flags in a row,
you get to go to
yeah.
Everyone starts fighting you for the ticket.
It's like the golden ticket for
sign the back,
like Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka, we got super lucky. So like it wasn't like any skill or anything, but like there's so much paperwork and background checks.
Yeah,
before they bring you over. But like, I was like I had such an image of America, and I feel like it lived up to it. But like it was really shocking. Like so. For the longest time.
Why did you pick, do you have to go to D.C. or like what? Or you had to pick?
We originally moved to Maryland, excuse me. We originally moved to Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
Because we had family there. So we were living in Sacramento for like a year.
Okay.
And then we had family in Burtonsville. So then we moved to Burtonsville. And there's a lot of Nigerians.
Oh, really?
In the DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. There's a ton of Nigerians. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of like fit and like. We just grew up. I just grew up there until I was like 22.
Mm.
Yeah. Right on. And so, and you were 6 years old at the time. So I'm dying to know what was the language barrier? Like, what? Do you have enough memories? Is that, is 6 years old young
it's
enough?
It's very
that
easy.
That
yeah. To I think. Well, I came when I was 12, so that's. I mean,
right.
I think six is easier to. Yeah. I don't know to just learn. You're yeah. like learn the language so quick when you're that age.
And English is the number one language in Nigeria.
So you're
it's
already
the, it's the
new.
Official language. Okay. So like, there's like 500 different languages.
Wow.
And there's like different tribes. The major ones are the Yorubas, the Hausas, and the Igbos, and I'm Yoruba. So I can understand Yoruba, but growing up, my parents were like, we really want you to speak English well. Mm. So I was speaking English from a young age. I was in ESOL class for like a month, and they're like, yeah, you don't really
need
this.
And ESOL classes, English is a second language, basically?
Which I never had that because my mom put me in this little private school that didn't have that.
Yeah.
So it was just me. I just learned by myself.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I sound like this. I didn't have nobody to tell me this is not how you pronounce everything.
I learned
great.
How to
you
speak.
Learned in the wild.
Yeah, no, I would sit in the back and because the lady was like she was just one teacher for the class, so she had to teach the class. So I would just sit in the back and then finally I just learned on my own. But I didn't have that. That's I didn't even know that existed until later on. I had friends in public school. And they're like, oh, I was like, what?
I feel like what really supplemented my English was like, while I was in, like, when I first came to America, it was like a summer. So I just learned, like, American English through, like, watching Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, like, talk with this, like, like, we got to sharpen our pencils. And everyone would be like, yo, this kid is fucking crazy.
Excuse me. Can I go to the bathroom?
Real talk like that. Like, I would just talk like that, and everyone was like, yo, you got to calm down.
You got to mix up your television habits.
Yeah. Power Rangers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's how I learned how to speak.
Right, full American. Action English.
Straight up.
Yeah. Hung out in the sewers a lot.
Yeah. So, like, I kind of had, like, the jump on it. So by the time I got to school and everyone kind of was like, nah, you speak like this, then everything kind of, like, readjusted. Like, I feel like the thing that really kind of took me a while to get was, like, certain gestures. Like, a lot of immigrants, they point with the middle finger, and I would point with my middle finger, and I had no idea.
Oh, really?
That was, like, bad.
Right.
Yeah, so I would just be like, oh, can you, like, do that? And my teacher would be like, yo, you can't be doing that. I chill the fuck out, so... Wow. Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious. I didn't know. Well, I didn't point like that. I don't remember pointing. I just, you know? We know what we do. Like, I think in Venezuela, we do this. Yes. We use our mouth to point. They're like, hey, pass me.
Oh, really?
Like, hey, the
chin point.
The chin point.
It's over there.
Yeah, you look like you're just two black dudes.
Yeah.
With your hands.
Yeah. So I don't know. But that's.
I just like how, like in Britain, I remember I learned the V's.
What's
that
the
means
V's?
Fuck off.
What is
this means Britain. Fuck off?
That means fuck off. Yeah, the V's.
This?
Yeah, you give somebody that? You didn't know that?
No.
All right. Yeah, that's how you tell somebody to fuck off.
Like what does this? This
mean? Yeah, you can do that too, but.
Is this still the shockers in the international?
That is still the shocker.
Okay, go.
We've got your reference there.
Oh, hell yeah.
If I go like to somebody, I'm like, hey, come here. Is that fine?
Yes.
So this is fine.
Well,
so
I mean, it's fine. A bit arrogant, but is that true? Is it your waitress or something?
Yeah.
Come here. But yeah, that means fuck off.
This means fuck off. How do you say fuck you? What's this mean then?
Yeah. That also means.
This is very international.
A lot of different ways to say
this is,
it. Yeah.
That one's quite international, yeah. But
okay.
This is, I think they'd say it's because the archers used to get captured, and they'd cut off, those are the digits that you can pull the bow with. So in Europe, when you tell somebody to fuck off, it's like, I still got these.
This is like, I have my fingers, I can hit you with an arrow.
Basically, that's how far back it goes.
Come get these arrows.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Daryl on you walking this.
You've never. So if you did that to an American, right? So if an Englishman got angry,
I think that's
and
fine,
did
right?
that to an American.
I wouldn't even know what that
is. Yeah, I don't even know what you're doing.
I'd
be like, does this guy watch the Power Rangers going on?
Come here!
I'm really angry with you!
That's wild.
Yeah.
Do you guys consider this rude when you're at like a restaurant and you're like,
no, that's not rude at all. That's international.
If you do both, then it's rude.
Like this? Doing both hands?
If you're like, check, please! Shouting and gesturing. But if you just keep, if you do one or the other,
no, I've done this.
Yeah,
I just throw money at them.
There you go. Peasant.
That's not rude at all.
That's not rude at all.
Here,
I'm just being Nigerian. I'm sorry.
Hey, you.
Hey, I want you to take this money.
Dude, point at me with an upside down middle finger.
This is, yeah, I think, no, well, we learn, that's the thing about this podcast. We're always learning stuff, even from you, which you're part of the podcast. I didn't even know that you were doing that. Like this.
Even from, oh, right, yeah.
So how do you go like this?
Well, I mean, that's just, you know, it's just the way, do you remember when you learn all the different ways to do the middle finger as well when you're a kid?
Yeah, because
like,
in Venezuela, this was like, you're a nerd if you do it like this.
Oh, yeah?
That's why when I came to the U.S., I was like, they do like this. It's like, you're supposed to be like this. That's how I grew up. Like, this is like the cool
way.
The knuckles up is a good one.
The
cool way.
Yeah, that's the trendy.
Like, hey. But so, like, if you want to like, eh, you're like, oh, you're a nerd.
So I think that's the way the V's evolved for me. When I first learned it in Britain, I was like, so I was probably just standard.
Yeah.
That was the standard fucking you. But then after a while, you're like, you start to add a little nuance.
If someone took the volume down, they would think we're just showing different ways.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. We'll take the volume down.
That's gonna be in the edit. Yeah. The little clip of like this guy.
I'll just narrate, don't know how to finger.
These guys are all virgin podcasts.
Hey, so how do you do it? You do it like this, or you go like that, or you go like that.
In my country, it's the shocker.
The shocker.
That's how we always greet.
That's how we greet each other. Yeah.
But you moved here when you were six, and then you went to school all over, in Maryland, right?
Yeah.
You stay there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just went. I went to my majority of my time. I was in school at Silver Spring. I went to middle school in Silver Spring.
Yeah,
and
that's
then,
where I went to school. Well, Wheaton.
You went to Wheaton?
Yeah, I mean, not, but the Good Counsel.
You went to Good Counsel? Yes. Okay, cool. I was supposed to go to John F. Kennedy.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. I have friends that transfer from there to there, yeah.
Because like, everyone would just kind of like migrate within Montgomery County.
Yeah.
But then we moved to Howard County. It was so crazy. I went to from a school that was like 70% black to a school that was like 70% white.
Just the counties?
Yeah, like, Howard County.
Wow.
Howard County, just a totally different vibe. And like,
how was that experience like for you? Like, you know,
it was crazy because like, even still, even though like this middle school I went to was like 70% black, everyone hung out with everybody. Like the white kids hung out with the black kids and so on and so on. Like I had this like Vietnamese kid who was like a really good friend named Fat. And like he was cool as shit, and like
PHAT,
but he was
the original Fat.
He was the original Fat. Girls loved him because of that one line. He could pull out "Oh, I'm Fat." PHAT.
Wow, that's an advantage.
Yeah,
very much so. And but then going to like Howard County School, it was just like a trip. Like I remember, I was told this was the thing that like the first day of school was grab a nigger day. Nigger day.
Really, you're gonna make him say it? No, I'm not.
Sorry, I just said it.
Keep going down.
But I just didn't understand. But apparently it was a joke. But there was this kid who did grab me. He's like, "Oh, I got one," and I was like, "What the fuck?"
Doesn't sound like a hilarious joke.
Nah, it was like, but it was like supposed to be.
Wait,
a joke.
So was Howard more white or black?
Way more white. 70%
really?
White when I was think, there. Yeah. It was crazy how like there was
I thought Howard County was more, you know, like was the opposite.
Nah,
Montgomery.
PG is.
PG.
How that, on earth were they even getting away with that in the, like, we're talking the 90s.
Well, yeah.
Oh, this is early, it's like 2005.
Yeah.
And it's 2005. Jesus. And they had, that was happening?
Yeah.
We had a bomb threat
where somebody was like, "I'm going to kill all the black people today." Or like, you go to on the bathroom walls. And like, we would just be like, all the black people were like, "You ain't going to kill us." But like, it wasn't like always tense. Like, there were some like cool white kids. There was cool black kids. And just like, it was just kind of like, there was this tension.
Mm-hmm.
And then every once in a while, it would like explode in a fight. Wow. With like between a black dude and a white kid, but like I was just like, I just stayed out the way with that shit.
Yeah.
I was I'm chilling.
I've only lived in America for 5 years.
You were like, I'm the Blue Power Ranger. I don't see color.
Yeah, I'm just start breakdancing.
Yeah.
I've only lived in America for 5 years, but it's amazing that the racist history of America is more recent than I thought.
Yeah.
I naively moved here thinking, okay, this has been the world's been pretty progressive since the 90s.
Yeah.
No. Not only recent, still happening.
It's still, that's why.
No, racism's over.
It's gone. Yeah.
Obama solved it.
Oh, okay.
Don't
you
hear?
See, that's why Trump became president.
Yeah. We needed another white one to refresh. We needed to refresh the racism.
We missed the racism.
But yeah, it was just like a trip of just like seeing that kind of shit sometimes. But like people forget about Maryland and DC and Virginia. It's the South. It's like
that
the
is
South.
True.
People
like
don't
I
really
never
realized that.
I never realized that either until you know. Then I was like, oh yeah. I mean, because I hung out mostly in DC.
Yeah.
And I went to like private school, so I didn't. You know, I experienced some, you know, like racism, you know, like, but nothing like crazy bad where I was like,
okay, wait,
you know.
You guys are going to have to clarify this for me because it's not located in the South.
Right? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
It is.
Because if in the Civil War, you know, Maryland was from the South, you know, it was New York.
Virginia was a Southern state, but Maryland, they actually, so as soon as Lincoln declared war and the South seceded, he had troops go into Maryland because it was too close to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have invaded the White House.
Oh, my God.
So Maryland wanted to secede, but Lincoln wouldn't let them.
As a Canadian, I got to say, I didn't know the geography of America very much, but I would learn by baseball divisions and stuff. Yeah. And I knew that Toronto East. And New York and Boston and Baltimore were all in the same division.
Northeast.
I pictured them all being right northeast, and now you guys are like, that's the South.
It's like real talk the Mid-Atlantic, but it's really, like the way people act, it's the South.
Yeah.
It's like you see, I'll go to school with kids who would have like Confederate flag like hanging on their Hummers and shit like that. And like,
holy cow.
Yeah. They like at the time, they're like, oh, it's just Southern pride. And I'm like, I guess. But then you go, you think about it like, oh no, y'all like we're being racist.
Yeah.
But,
wow.
You know,
next to Virginia and Ohio.
Yeah, it's wild.
There's racism out there.
I'm
learning something every day in America.
It's. I mean, but it's a gorgeous state. Like Maryland, DC, it's just beautiful. And like, there are a lot of really cool people from that area. Like, it's just, I feel like because everyone's so close, because there's such, it's everything's they're right on top of one another, but there's still this like Southern flair to it. So you have like people who think they're as fly as people from New York, but they got this like twang to them where they're like, come on, man, or like they'll just like say like slim, and like it's just it's such an interesting place. I feel like people don't really talk about a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people hear the bad. mostly the bad of some of those places.
Yeah,
And
then you went to Maryland, right?
I went to University of Maryland.
College Park, which I also went to University of Maryland.
Did you ever perform at the Stamp?
No, I never did comedy while I was in. I never knew I wanted to do stand up while I was in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's why it's even like college shows were so like. Even I mean, the first college show that I attended was the one that I did.
Yeah.
Like I never knew that. I never hung out that much because all the stuff that I did in college was just like either go like to the bars or like parties or go to DC. So I never like did anything. In campus.
Which bar would you go to on campus?
Yeah, the ones in college, you know, forget.
On
like,
Route 1?
Yeah.
Did you ever go to...
forget the names now, but...
Bentley's? Did you ever do
Bentley's? Yeah. I got caught, I think in one of those, I got caught with a fake ID.
With a fake ID?
Yeah.
I got thrown out of Bentley's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like
Cartland? Like Jazz.
Like Jazz, yeah. Straight up just tossed out of Bentley's.
Oh, man.
Mine
was, the guy was like, because I remember I had it, it was like, and I don't know who made it for me. Or something, but like they basically had an old ID that I had, and they just put the fake stuff in the top.
Yes.
So I guess, but then you know, I'm going in, and then I go to give the guy a guy, and the guy's like, you know, he starts feeling, he's like, this is fake, and I'm like, what are you talking about, man? You know? And he's like, no, this is fake. It was like, and then I guess he tried to peel, or like he was like, I could feel, or he's like, I could feel that it's not. He's like, no, man, this is not. I mean, I was like, he's like. He's like, dude, he's like, you got to get out of here, you know, or I'm going to call the cops or something. I was like, okay, fine, but can I have my ID back? He's like, no.
Your ID back?
Yeah, because they always kept it. They always kept it. That was the thing.
Some of those bouncers were dicks.
Yeah, they were. I mean, that was like the... And
I don't
like,
think anybody... that's usually a policy, isn't it? You keep the fake ID when
because they give it to the
cop. I don't
think
anybody's getting their
But then
ID
my
back.
Thing was like a couple of weeks I was like, fuck, am I going to get in trouble, you know, cuz I'm like I'm thinking like am I going to like they're going to call my parents and be like, "Hey, you know, whatever some shit like that, you know."
Yeah, you reminded me of something though, like it's different in Canada, of course, cuz you turn drinking age in Canada
18,
a lot
right?
sooner than you guys, so
yeah, 18.
Yeah, 18 in some provinces, 19 in others. Ooh. But that's still early enough cuz you guys are still doing fake. You're like 3 years, 4 years into your university lives, and you're finally turning drinking age.
Yeah.
So it's different for us. But we did have, there was a guy who had a fake, an ID, like, or gave it to somebody as a fake ID, and it got used in a crime like 10 years later.
Oh,
and the license was in the newspapers and everything.
Shit.
So dude's like 10 years out of university. He's forgotten about this ID he gave to a younger student or something so they could get into a bar. And now he was in the newspaper. He had to go down and go, "Hey, look, it's definitely not me."
Oh my God.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious. So yeah, so I went, so you went there and you majored in what?
I majored in government and politics.
Oh, okay.
And I'm definitely using it today.
Yeah. You know, well, you know. No, yeah, I mean, in terms of I was going to try to connect to
Well, I was
going to
say, don't you still find it handy?
I was trying to, you know, I was like, there's no, I was trying to find one more thing. I was trying to squeeze that. I was squeezing that joke.
Political power range.
Yeah, yeah.
But you must find those things useful. I mean, I've seen a couple of comics that have a great history degrees and stuff like that. And they use it in their stand-up a lot of times.
You took political science? Because that's one class that I took and like, it's one of like a few. I remember a few classes that I took that I'm like, and that one was that one because we did like game theory and Nash
game theory,
and I was like, and I was like, that was very interesting to me, you know.
I mean, I feel like the thing that I minored in philosophy, and I feel like that I've used more in comedy, honestly, because like specifically like the logic elements, like it helps you with the structure of like if then arguments or like modus ponens, modus distinctive syllogism, I think it's called. Like, just to kind of, like, because I feel like jokes are kind of like proofs. Mm-hmm. So it's like you come in with a premise, and then you have all these axioms to kind of prove your point. And these axioms are supposed to be funny. And then by the end of it, you can always go back, if you do the Chris Rock method, and just repeat your point over and over again.
Yeah.
And then you just hit them with another axiom. And then by the end of it, you can have a button of your conclusion of where you land at. And then that can lead into something else. But, like, philosophy, I feel like, helped me way more in comedy. I hate talking about government and politics.
Right.
It's so boring.
Yeah, me too.
It's like everyone wants to talk about it now. And I'm like, I also feel like I don't remember anything from college.
It's kind of,
so.
Like I said, I remember a couple of things.
But
that I'm like, oh, I learned it. You know?
Yeah.
Do you think it's all Jon Stewart's fault? The Daily Show kind of made it's just was so popular.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart made politics like the new pop culture. I swear to God, before The Daily Show, I don't think any of us knew all of our politicians' names and stuff, and we knew more about pop stars, and it was more gossipy.
It's because he did so well.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, oh, I can do that. I was like, no, you can't. He's a genius. Moron.
But you said, you started performing comedy in college?
Like, no. I wanted to.
But you
I wanted to.
Okay.
But like,
did you go to shows?
I would go to shows. That's why I was like, I don't know if I ever saw you at the Stamp. Because I will go to.
Well, I'm not that older than you. I was still. I think I was telling in DC while
you were
in college.
Well, there were some comics. There were some.
Not that old, man.
It's like, hey. There were some comics that I saw perform at the Stamp and now live in LA. And I'm like, you don't know. I like saw you perform.
Like who? Like, I don't know if you know.
There's a guy named Atif Myers.
Okay.
He's really funny. He just wrote a movie on BET.
Wow.
And Eric Owusu is another dude I saw. Like, really fucking funny. And I know I saw it. I saw Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh, you're there.
Yeah, before he performed in like our movie theater, like way before that shit.
Yeah,
he was hilarious. And any kind of the comedy shows they would have on campus, I would go. I would go and just watch.
Oh, so you already had that then.
I had
that itch.
I had that itch. Like, I saw Lewis Black. I saw Aziz.
Were those the moments that made you like inspired to become a comedian, or was that already in you when you were like even younger, where you're like, I'm gonna do this?
I think it was in me because my mom, like, one time I like had all the Seinfeld episodes and I just would watch the stand-up parts over and over and over again,
right?
And like, I was like probably like senior year of high school, my mom was like, do you want to do comedy? And I was like, no. I was like, absolutely not. And but she would like would bring that up. She's like, I knew you wanted to do it, but you may not know you wanted to do it.
Your mom knew you like the way some parents know like the sexual orientation of their kids before they admit to their parents.
Well, I mean,
she's like, I know what you want to do.
Well, but that's one thing that I go like when people like that's what I don't get with parents that they don't accept. Like it's easy to see like what sexual orientation you are. I mean, I had cousins who I was like. You know, they were little. I was like, he's gay.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, it's obvious that he was. It's like, why would you? So I don't get as a parent. If I have a kid like that, I'd be like, yeah, that's who you are. I'm not going to, like, try to change you. You know what I mean? It's like, well, is that, but it's like, it's.
But would you know their career ambitions?
I think that's hard.
If my kid came out as a comic, I'd be like, you got it. I got to take you to a camp.
I got to convert you.
I got to convert you into a doctor.
Like comedian conversion camp. There
should be that. You know what the camp would be?
It should be for people that are not funny.
It would be an improv clip. Camp for people to do yes and bullshit.
No, they just spend a week in a comedy condo. This is what your life will be.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Scared straight.
And you have to take 3 flights to get. Yeah, now that's what a comedian is all about. Yeah. You're by yourself.
Yeah, they simulate that shit. You gotta fight spirit.
Yeah, and this day's end.
You have to fly standby.
Yeah. That's
let's start this. We can make some money off.
Make you take you on a treble run and shit.
Work it out of you really quick.
So that's cool. So you wanna? It's funny because I also watched Seinfeld.
Yeah,
but I did it. I just watched it because I thought it was just funny. And like I said, I didn't even know what stand up was.
Yeah,
I had no idea. I mean, like I literally started learning about stand up. Like I said, when I wanted to. I guess a little bit like in college, a little bit like with Chappelle because he started getting popular in the Chappelle show and stuff like that. But then I really was like, I never knew I wanted to do stand up until like I graduated and stuff like that.
Chappelle is like my biggest influence, I would say. When that show dropped, I was like so impressionable.
That's like wow.
Yeah, like I was just basically doing Chappelle jokes. Like we had, I was in this music technical class and they asked me to do a commercial and I just seen the black cake white supremacist. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we did a commercial for a KKK shop? Mm-hmm. And my teacher was like, ha 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 ha, yeah, sure. Like, he thought I wouldn't do it, and I did it. And then he gave me a D, but everyone in the class was dying about the commercial. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I can feel it in my brain.
That I'm like, I'm good at this, and I like doing this.
I like getting laughs. Yeah. I like people, like, laughing at dark shit. So it just, like, made me go like, oh, like, I didn't realize I wanted to do comedy yet, but I was like, I like the feeling of people in a room laughing at something I did.
Yeah, like when I was at university, often they would have a choice.
He also did a KKK thing, but it was real.
Yeah. It was him, Justin Trudeau.
It was just a real commercial.
Weirdly enough, I got an A.
He got an A and 3 Ks.
Crushed it. It shouldn't have been right. But no, they used to give you the option often. So if you got like a 60-person class, but they used to give you an option for some papers or end of semester things of like you can do a 12-page paper or you can do a 4-minute presentation kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was very rare the people who chose, I would say out of the 60 people.
Yeah, because they were afraid to talk.
Like about six or seven people would choose presentation, which always blew my mind because I would. I'd much rather get up and talk.
And do it four
for
minutes.
4 minutes than have 12 pages.
Yeah.
And I always found that weird. I'm like, oh, is it that rare? But most people are.
Yeah, that's
no
they scared. You know, that's what people say. It's like they don't like, you know,
public speaking.
Yeah. Like they're one of the worst fears, which is crazy. Yeah. Like for us, because it's like.
It was so much easier.
Do you guys still get scared before you go on stage?
No. I mean, I think.
I'm still terrified every set.
Really?
Every set.
That's not a bad sign.
No, that's not. I always say I don't get scared. I get adrenaline nervous, which to me, that's like, I think that's the key. Because I think I want to keep that all the time because I feel like once you lose that, then like.
You're in trouble, actually.
Then it's like, oh, you don't have this passion anymore. Yeah. So I feel like, so I get that adrenaline, like, you know, but then when I get there, I'm like, so it's not, and I think that's good nervousness because it gives you energy and you use that to, you know, for anything. Not that it freezes you. Not that I get there, I'm like, what am I going to do? You know
your biggest deaths come when you're cocky. don't they?
Oh,
they
for sure. Yeah,
like,
for
your biggest
sure.
deaths come when you're like, I got this. This is no problem.
Yeah, everybody
you
didn't get the crowd.
With
yeah.
an attitude, and then boom, and that's how you die. So having a little bit of nervousness, it grounds you and, gives you that energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like it. But I think, that's why I say, I think, like, it's bad when, like, if it's a nervousness or being scared that just freezes you or doesn't let you be who you are or yourself, because to me then it's like, well, then you gotta
you
fix that, because then you're not coming across as your true self. And
I feel like hard, the first 2 minutes I'm on stage, I'm like, I'm just getting over the stage fright. Usually I'm like kind of like even to this day, like the set we did on Monday, like before I got off stage, like I have to do this breathing exercise before I go on stage.
I don't
stage.
Know if you noticed, you were quiet for 2 minutes. And everybody going like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?
These guys just drink
Mighty Morphin, Mighty Morphin. I was like,
before like, I have to like I had a set recently where, like, I had a set the night before and like, it went really well. I had two sets the night before and it went really well. And then multiple people who were at the show that I was doing on Friday, they all knew who I was because they had seen me the night before. Oh, okay. And they were like, oh my God, that was great. And them knowing that what I did before put me in my head, and I just was like, oh, I can't. Like, they
can't duplicate the same shit.
I can't duplicate the same shit. How do I be present? And I'm in my head now, and I'm all like this. And I like anonymity. I don't people knowing
but that's
me before
that's
I go on
a thing that I, because I taught
that's
tennis.
Gonna be tough as your career goes on.
I know. Yeah, no, that's, I know. But that's a thing that we all have, because that's that every human has. Because I taught tennis, and I remember reading this book when you teach people, like, you can, like, if I'm feeding somebody, if I'm feeding you a ball, and you start hitting a forehand, I'm not saying anything, and you start doing well, the minute I go, like, that's great hand, forehand, and then the next one you're going to miss. Because why? Mm-hmm. Because you're doing the same thing that you said before. You want, now you're like, I have this pressure to duplicate the same exact result.
Yes.
And that never works. That's where we all fucked up anywhere. And that's in sports, everything. Because that's when you're like, I have to make this shot. No. Yeah. When do you play better? When do you perform better? When you're not thinking. When you're literally, you're not thinking. You're just doing.
Yeah.
All the thinking you have to do before you get in on the stage or on the gym or the but that's everybody, and that's because we wanna I have to prove that I
so we're learning that positive reinforcement is a bad thing.
No, but that's the thing.
But
I think
that is true though, because like if you tell me I can't do something, I'm gonna fucking show you. And that gets me in another kind of mode, because then my mode is like, oh, I want to prove this person wrong. But I was gonna ask, like, when you guys go on stage, like, what do you do to like relax and like calm down?
I don't know. I guess I maybe find a little bit of zen before I go on, but I don't know. I feel like...
You know what I use?
I just pull out some cocaine.
Don't.
True brain.
What is that?
Oh, it's the true brain.
True brain.
No, I'm kidding.
Do you take a bit of true brain and then...
True brain.
Oh, no.
Is that your real sponsor?
If you,
it's not. No.
If you go to the website and type code standby, you will get added 10%.
I told, because I went to their website after you came. Francisco came in one day, one of our podcasts, all hyped up on it, just
on True Brain.
It was like
I was pushing it. I wasn't like that.
I was acting. He was very, he's very caffeinated. But they need people to buy their stock. Remember, I went to the page. Are you buying the stock now?
I mean, I think if I do get one thing that I learned, that if I start getting, you know, because I think the more you do it, the more you forget about this. And until you start getting that big audition or that big show that's the one that you like. And I think my best thing that I've gotten is just, you know, meditation, breathe kind of stuff, just to kind of like, all right, just chill and try to get to that point of like really don't force anything and just have fun kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what works for me, you know, in the moment before I go on stage or like 10 minutes before or whatever, you know, just to get that. But that's, again, that's if it's like a huge opportunity, when I start feeling a little bit of like, you know, a little bit of a, but if, you know, kind of shows that we do all the time, I get that little energy, but I just go, you know, because the more you do it, the more you kind of like.
Yeah. I used to think like I had a song or something I wanted to listen to or something. You know, you're back there like M&M's. You're like, lose yourself. But I think those moments are gone.
Yeah, no, I do this. You still do that?
For certain things. Like if it's like a big show. Like, I watch, this is the nerdiest thing ever, but I will watch, like, an anime clip that I like that, like, makes me, like, pumped up. Right. And then I'll be like, okay, cool, now I'm ready to go face whatever this thing is. And it, like, puts me in a good zone.
Yeah.
Right.
But, like, as far, like, regular shows, I don't really, I get nervous, but I don't need to, like, listen to music to get into those zones. It's just, like the minute or two beforehand, I'm like, oh, what am I going to say? I have no idea what I'm going to say just to start getting into it. Because it's like, I feel like when you just go up and you start telling jokes, you come off like robotic. It's like trying to merge.
Yeah,
on
no, that
you
never
and not
works.
Like adjust.
Yeah. You can't just go in.
You gotta like find a connection somehow.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And then you started doing comedy when in Maryland?
No, I started in Orange County.
Oh, so you moved. So that's your first big move to pursue comedy was to move to L.A. or Orange County?
It was. I mean, I didn't California. Move to California.
Is there a comedy scene in Orange County?
There is. Yeah. Like... Shout out to all the OC comics. But like I moved to Orange County because my family, my mom asked me to live with her shortly after my dad died. Mm. So
it's after college.
It's after college. Yeah. She was like, I'm either going to move to Houston or L.A. And I was like, I'm not going to Houston. because I was going to move to New York. That was my whole plan. I was going to move to New York, go to law school, and then start comedy there.
Got it.
But then she was like, I moved to L.A. And I was like, all right, bet. But she made it seem like we were going to move to
L.A.
She said, yeah, like L.A. So she said, we're moving to Brea. And I was like, in my head, I'm thinking La Brea.
La Brea. Yeah.
We're going to La Brea. And like my shit is gone. It's like on a truck and shit. And I'm like telling everybody, I'm moving to L.A. It's going to be lit. And then like literally like a week or two before we go, she goes like, you keep saying like I'm wrong.
Brea,
and like La Brea. It's Brea.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like look it up and I'm like, yo, we are like an hour to 30 minutes away from this shit. And I tried driving to LA once or twice, but I was like, this is too much. It killed
me. Yeah.
Right.
So
just to do like an open mic and shit like that.
Yeah. But my sister, she got me some classes to this improv class in Orange County. This place is called Stages Theater. And then I would drive there every single Friday, one improv class. And I did that for like 6 months until I met this comic and he was just like, you know, there's like a stand-up scene here. Because like every improv scene, I would just take it over and I'm like, no, you say this and I can say this. So that this is how it is. No, it's not improv.
You're being like, very scripted with your improv.
Yeah.
Stop saying things off the top of your head.
Like I would whisper to people.
Come on, John, just shut the fuck up. And don't, it's like, I was supposed to be yes and. No, me.
No.
And.
I'm like, no, but here's what we're going to do. I wouldn't take suggestions. I'm like, no, I want to talk about dominoes or something dumb. But they were very nice people at that theater. Like, they really let me, like, experiment and be creative. And then I met this comic who was like, there's a scene in Orange County. Like, there's, like, you can get up, like, five times a night doing open mics.
Yeah.
And I went to this open mic called Max Bloom's. And I just went there. There was another one. This dude named Evan Cassidy would run called Anchor Bar. And that was in Costa Mesa. And there was another one on Wednesdays that was at this rehab center called that this former crackhead Johnny what's his name?
That's quite the title. Crackhead
Johnny Flowers, former crackhead Johnny Flowers, one of the nicest dudes you've ever met.
Is that
meet.
His Wait, full stage name?
Yeah, Johnny Flowers.
Oh no, it's not former crackhead Johnny Flowers.
Yeah, former crackhead Johnny Flowers, and he would have this room called Tickles. And it was just, you would be performing in front of, like, people who were, like, on methadone, like, strung out.
Oh, shit.
And, like, but then he would, like, let you get, like, 15 minutes.
Which is an open mic. It's like, wow.
It was an open mic, and you're like, what the fuck? So, like, I developed material for that time that was good for me for that time really fast.
Yeah.
Like, I was able to do, like, 20-minute sets. Not good, but I had that comfortability.
Yeah, the comfortability, which is the main thing that you need as an open micer.
And then, like, within, like, 7 months, I was, like, doing festivals.
Oh, wow.
That quickly. But it wasn't good. I look back at it, and I was like, I wasn't ready. I didn't have good material, and I still don't. but it, like, being in that small scene really helped me. And the comics are really good. A lot of them are, like, working, they live in L.A. now, mm-hmm. and working and doing, like, really good work. Yeah. Like, Connor McSpadden.
Yeah.
Is a dude.
I met Connor.
Yeah, yeah, Connor was, like.
Just did a show with him yeah. Friday or Saturday.
He like, really helped me out. Damian Holmes, Ramsey.
That's really good.
Robin Tran, like some really good comics.
I like hearing yeah. stuff like yeah. that. I like hearing a nurturing scene because yeah. a lot yeah. of America, to me, it seems, because of course I didn't start here or anything.
Yeah. What, it feels like survival of the fittest?
There's a
that's what it was.
Welcome to woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
literally
it's
what
the like a Power Rangers battle out there all the time.
It is.
But yeah, it seems very American. Some American comedy scenes, when I've when I've got a taste of them, I feel like, oh, you guys are all really competitive with each other. You all think there's only one spot at the top kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think, so it's nice to hear when it's like, we were all nurturing each other.
I mean, I was the black comic in Orange County. Like, there was right. two black comics. It was me and this other kid named Tony Gartley, who's really funny, but he just didn't get up. Mm. So everyone would be like, yo, we need a black dude on the show. Yeah. So I would just show up, do my spots. And everyone, it was a little testy at first when I showed up. I could tell, like, they would call me the N-word. They would say that to my face.
No. Wait, who?
Comics.
Why?
I could tell you their names. I won't because I ain't.
But why?
I
ain't as
they just were like roasting me, and they but it wasn't like funny. It was just like one comic
but
brought me up as like, oh, we got a nigger coming up. And I'd be like, okay.
What?
And I would just go up and just be try to be
Holy
funnier.
That's crazy.
Shit. Yeah. That's all I can say about this. This is in the
So crazy. It was a wild time. But like
wild time. It was like 10 years
ago.
But they won't do that shit now because after a certain point when
they'd be like,
realized,
hey, what the fuck?
Yeah, when they realized that like they started to respect me and to be like, yo, this guy's funnier.
It's good, yeah.
And
yeah.
we can't just like be disrespecting him no more.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I started running open mic, and they kind of had to cut that shit out. But I never got angry at them. Like, I never would just like resort to anger because I knew as soon as I get mad,
then they give you that reason.
Like, oh, we can't do your mic. You can't do the mic anymore because you'll get angry.
Right.
So I just would just like be like, all right.
This
cool.
is exactly what happened to me at the comedy store. I mean, well, they didn't call me the N word, but it was like more like, but it was that whole thing of like during the open mics and when I was working here, like. The people that were hosting would like kind of like roast me or like make fun of me and stuff like that. And then, when I started doing good, then they kind of had to be like, well, they would just, I didn't have to say anything. They would just go like, oh, that was great. Give it up for, you know, like.
Yeah, I remember you telling me, like, you started
and also
giving it back.
And I would give it back to them.
Yeah.
I would make fun of them.
Yeah.
You know, but not in an angry way, in a funny way.
Yeah, but that's how you have to be.
But that's how you do it, yeah.
You have to kind of like, and it sucks. But like, and everyone gets roasted too. I don't want to say just because I was black. Like, people would make fun of people for being fat.
Yeah, yeah.
People would make fun of people for being whatever.
It's like a whole thing of like to it's kind of like being, I guess, I've never been in the military, but it's kind of like to like toughen you up kind of thing. Like, that mentality of like, we got to toughen you up. And like, which is also like, it in a way prepares you to, because that's what stand up is. I mean, you got to be tough to get up there and to not be afraid of any crowd or
definitely,
whatever.
Definitely.
I used to feel that way about some comics that were older than me. I used to think like they're just trying to give me tough skin. You know, it's like little light bullying. But now I look back on it and I'm like, no, they were just dicks. now that time has gone on, I'm like, oh yeah, you haven't evolved into nice people at all. You were actually being a dick.
You should also make the distinction that toughening up a comic is different than introducing them with the N-word.
Yes, that's true.
That's not so much
toughening
you up.
That's not, it's like, yo, I don't want that credit.
No, right now.
But it definitely, like, prepared me for a lot of, like, crazy scenarios. Like it wasn't a good thing, but, like there were sets in Huntington Beach where, like, neo-Nazis walked in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on stage. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I just fucking died with a swastika. But I'm used to racism based off, like, the shit. So I'm like, oh, okay, I know how to act in this scenario. Because if specifically when you're, like, outnumbered and shit, you just kind of have to be, like, not docile, but you gotta just be like, okay, like, cool. Oh, is that what you think is gonna get at me?
Yeah.
I did have like one meltdown one night though, when this one old geezer dude, I remember his name too, was just like trying aggressively to try crowd work on me. And I'm like, dude, I'm a comic. What are you doing crowd work on me for?
And this is an audience member.
Yeah. I was just like waiting to go up.
Okay.
And then he's doing crowd work on me. And I was just like answering. He was like, look at the black guy. And I just was like, yo, I've had it. Y'all can't do this to me no more. Yeah. Like, respect me.
Yeah.
And, like, they did eventually, and now there's so many black comics in Orange County, and like they're just, some of them are really, really good. Like, and they've, like, there's a new crop, and I love seeing that, and they don't have to deal with that bullshit.
With that bullshit, yeah, yeah.
So that's the best part of it, is just that, like, there's a really
good scene.
At least
an evolution.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's going in a positive direction.
In a really good way, yeah.
No, that's, yeah, no, I mean, it is, yeah, it is funny how, like, stuff that we had to put up with a little bit, and then even, and that's, and then for us, and then people that had to put him even
way
before.
Yeah.
Imagine that, you know, just even, like, anywhere, you know, like,
if
you were any, some kind of minority, you probably had to, like, go through all that shit, too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you have a woman or a, you know, whatever, another minority or, you know. So.
Yeah, but that's how progress is made. It's just, like, it's slow, incremental steps.
Yeah.
Just, like, somebody has to go through the bullshit.
And also it shows you how slow it is, too, because, like you said, it's, like, this happened. It still happens.
Way more recent than I.
it's like,
it's like 2013 when the shit was starting. But it was only like lasted for like 7 months when they were like, okay, like these guys, this guy's doing well on all our shows. Like, we can't keep doing this thing.
But to me, it's like, I would have loved to ask, like, why even do that?
Yeah.
Like,
for
why?
Sure.
Like,
for
what
sure.
was the. Because. Where's the funny? I mean, to me, that's
never
like, there's that's not funny. Like,
it was never funny.
Where's the funny?
I know, I like a bit of sarcasm or anything, but I don't necessarily like the like bullying, but I feel like sarcasm builds a good friendship.
So, for sure.
Like, if I'm making fun of you or something, but at least being funny, I'll take it. Or if somebody's doing it with me, I'll take it. But, like, if there's just straight up, like, oh, you just want to insult me or there's nothing, I'm like, well, then you're
not really.
Yeah,
like, you and I became friends on the circuit, and I don't think we're that type of people. We're not, like, we didn't become friends by making fun of each other.
No, we
became friends by doing
and like
a
I
few
said,
shows
if we make
fun
of each other, it's like a little funny stuff, but it's not
like
being like an asshole for no reason.
Yeah.
But like my closest friends from that scene are like Ramsey, Damien, Evan, Keith, Tom. They're all roasters. Like, they all will crack
them. But that's the whole point
of
us jokes. As comics. We make fun of each other.
It's with love, and it's never crossing that boundary of just like straight up disrespectful, like hurtful shit. And like, I think it's also to be, I don't know if it's to be fair, but when you start comedy, like, you don't know how to joke. So I'm sure there are a couple people who are like trying to be funny and like, they think they watch Tough Crowd and they don't realize like, these are some of the greatest comics alive right now. Like, they're messing, they're trying to
imitate the things that they see on TV, but they're like, it's kind of like the people, like, new comics that see like Netflix specials or anything like that, and then they're like, these guys have done it for 25 years,
and
that's
why,
and they all know each other, and they know how to write. So it's like, you can't
copy
duplicate
that.
This in this 1 minute open mic that you got.
Dude, people are walking out on you, bro, because you suck, not because you were doing edgy stuff like the comedian that you were looking up to.
Definitely. It's also like, I love Tough Crowd. I think all those comics were funny, and like that New York round table shit was hilarious. But it's like, I'm not like those guys. Like, I'm not built for that shit.
Yeah, I mean,
those
that's
guys
a
are
thing
fucking
too.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
But like, to duplicate that magic is just dumb. It's like, when I realize, like, it's basically you see something.
And also because at the end of the day, that's them.
That's them.
You know, like, that's the key. It's like, you just gotta be you. I mean, like, if you see that and that's you, that's great, because then you can kind of duplicate that. But if that's not you, then it comes worse.
Yeah,
it comes out worse because you're trying to do something that is not your personality.
Did you ever heard of Jonah when he was in Maryland?
Jonah. No.
Jonah is like a term for somebody who's when you like roast to somebody. And like when I was in middle school, we would sit at the Joning. I sat at the Joning table, not by choice. Like, they just put me there, so I would just get roasted.
Okay.
And like, I got good at it, but then every once in a while I would like say something like, "Oh, I'm just making fun of somebody in a mean way."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or like I'd be like, "Ha ha, that's why your daddy's in jail." And then it'd be like, the guy's like, "Yo,
yeah, that's a little too much."
Like, "Oh, my bad, dog." Yeah, and it's like, "Yeah, his dad's in jail."
Yeah, yeah.
So like, don't do that to the kid. So like, I think that's how it is. I looked at it though, I'm like, I understand what you're trying to do, but you're just so bad at this, and you don't realize like you're playing with fire.
Well, that's like, I think that's why I said to me, like, when I go with stand up and, you know, it's like, is that natural funniness that people that you can teach?
Yeah.
And like, sometimes that's what happens when people are not naturally funny, then they try to do those things and it's like,
it just comes across as mean
because this other guy who does the same mean stuff, but he's naturally funny, or she's naturally funny, then you laugh at that because they just have that thing that makes them funny. But like, But then the other, it's like, you know, like, I mean, I remember.
Sometimes a comedian can be brash on stage, and when people meet them after stage, they're brash at you. Yeah. And you're like, whoa. Yeah.
But I remember, I never forget when I was here, like, I think, Sebastian, I think I was still working here, or, you know, and like Sebastian was up, Sebastian Maniscalco, and like, and then this, I think he got done, and then this girl, like, I think two girls were coming out, and they were like talking, and there, she's like, oh, like, he's like, he's such an asshole, but I like him, talking about Sebastian. And that really clicked for me because, yes, like, he can come across as, like, being, like, a dick because he's going, well, hates everybody, hates. Yeah. But he's funny because he's naturally funny, and that's why people, like, gravitate and laugh. Another person could do exactly the same thing, but if they're not, if they don't have that gene, that funny gene, you just come across as an asshole, and that's it, you know? So it's very hard to, like, duplicate that when you don't have that, I feel like. And that's what you said. People see that on TV or see, like, tough crowd, whatever. Oh, I can do that. It's like, no, you're not that guy.
Yeah, there's a way to read comedians' words, like Sebastian Maniscalco's. If you just read it and you didn't know it was coming from Sebastian's mouth, if you were just given this, you'd be like, this is just a person complaining.
Yeah. That's all.
And then, but then if you're told it's Sebastian Maniscalco, and then you can read it. You can read it in his voice. And his rhythm, like, oh, this is hilarious.
Yeah, you can imagine the crazy act out he does. You're like, oh, hell yeah. This is really good.
Yeah.
Wow. So then you, and then, wow, so you said you started doing festivals quickly. So that means you were like going on the road quick. Like,
yeah, my first festival, I got into this. It's not even a lot. I mean, that's how it shows you how bullshit festivals are, but like, it was Bridgetown. I got into Bridgetown.
Yeah, in Portland, right?
In Portland, yeah. And like that kind of like accelerated.
Is it because also they only needed, they needed, they had
they needed one more African. They were like, yo, we need an African. Let's go to Orange County to get a black guy.
Hello, Orange County.
Hello, Orange County. We heard you have a black guy with a crazy credit. Yeah, it was like, I applied like when I was 7 months in. My Connor recorded me doing a set at a place that I had no business performing yet, but I like really prepared for it, and he got the perfect video, and I didn't know I was being videotaped.
That's even better.
Yeah. And then he sent it to me, and I sent it in. I didn't even have a headshot. I just put in a photo that my friend took of me when I used to work at this call center as the headshot. So they probably thought, like, oh, this kid's like quirky.
Cool. And like, wow, this guy doesn't care about it. Yeah.
And I got in, and then like I started like, I got like a college agent off of that, and I just started doing colleges. And
so how was that like in terms of like traveling? And because I mean, my thing was a big shock when I first started doing traveling for how was your experience of just being by yourself and doing all this?
It was weird because I mean, I didn't have an hour.
Yeah,
I didn't know how to do
so
an hour.
So this is straight onto the college circuit, and you needed an hour.
Yeah, and I didn't have one. I just like, so you guys have done NACAs before. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think we met at a NACA.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
I think this was the first
NACA. By the way, NACA is, for the people who are listening, it's a conference for colleges that colleges go to, and then you perform for the colleges in
for a whole bunch of different colleges.
For different colleges.
Depending
on the region. And then if they like you, then they're like, hey, I want you to come to my school. So
I did a sampler, so I only had to do 5 minutes.
Oh, that's nice.
So they thought I had an hour, but I only had 5 minutes. Nice. I just did the 5 minutes, and it was like a
five minutes are good. Yeah.
So I did the sampler, and I booked, I think, 7 schools.
Nice.
And the first school I ever did was University of Central Missouri, and it was in Warrensburg, Missouri, and it was weird because like, I had to fly into, I think, Kansas City. Then I had to drive 2 hours in, and I didn't know, I got to rent a car, I got to get a hotel. But and then I booked. I was like, oh, I should probably get in the night before, not knowing you can get there like the day of early, drive in. So I rented another hotel, which was close, and I was like, okay, I'll stay at this hotel. And then I like lost money. Doing all this bullshit. Right. And then I get to the place. And I started getting sick. I had the worst sinus infection. Oh, so I was like sick as fuck. And the week earlier, Ferguson just happened. A lot of those kids were from Ferguson. And so I get to the venue, which was like, whenever you perform in colleges, you guys know this, like it's mostly you're performing in like some sort of like weird auditorium
or a cafeteria
or like some
classroom
sort of, like presentation
room. Yeah, yeah.
So I get into their auditorium or like the little like
foyer bit.
What is it? What do you would you call like where like the kids hang out like with the
foyer.
Like a union?
Yeah, like a student like union area.
Oh yeah, right.
And they're all, and I see these kids are protesting.
Oh,
they're doing
shit.
The like Black Lives Matter, that kind of stuff
in the union
in
while
the
you
union.
Were before while you were about to go up.
Yeah, wow. And then they stop for like 10 minutes, and then I'm like, hey, I'm supposed to perform.
So they bring you up?
No.
Nobody so, like, brings you up?
So no, I haven't even checked in with my student rep.
Oh, got it.
So I'm like, hey, I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
And I go up to these people with these protests, and I'm like, I'm a comedian. I'm supposed to be performing here. And they're like, oh yeah, we've seen your poster all over the campus. And I was like, cool.
You're already an enemy to them.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you?
They're
not.
They're not liking
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I
are you with the, you with the government?
Like, I was booked way before your protest.
Like,
was
what's
organized.
Going on here?
I'm trying to get my check.
It's like, dude, I know what's going on right now. So I this guy's like, yeah, man, shit's fucked up out here. You gotta say something when you're on that stage.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, yeah. So am I checking in with you? Because I don't know who am I talking
who's
to.
Who's bringing me?
Yeah. They pull me over to the corner and they're like. I meet the student rep, mm-hmm. and I'm like, so what's going on? They're like, all right, so these people had a protest yesterday. Before they could finish, a couple of these white students came up to them like, you guys are ruining the school. You guys need to go back. Blah, 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 blah. Go back to Ferguson, that kind of shit. And I was just like, oh, shit. And they're like, yeah, so they rescheduled their protest
to today.
Oh, man. So they'll be performing. They'll start their protest at 7:30, and you go up at 7.
So you only have to do a half hour?
No. So they'll start the protest. They're gonna start the protest in the middle of my set.
That's worse than a fucking set. That's worse than a check drop.
Yes.
A protest drop.
It's a protest drop.
A sign race.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So I was just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And. They're like, we would appreciate it if you don't talk about race. And I was like, bro, I have 15 minutes. It's all about race. About like,
it's like, do you
and how
know
racist Orange
like,
County yeah, is? And like, what the fuck?
Sounds like a party's going on.
Didn't you book me? Don't you know me?
Yeah, yeah. My 5 minutes was all about being black and African and stuff like that. Yeah. So they're like, yeah, please don't talk about that stuff. They're like, all right, so... They put me in like this weird.
So what's the deal with the cafeteria hut, though?
What's the deal with this? All these people with signs and
what? So a protest, you got to walk a lot, right, guys? Great way to lose weight.
How do you guys figure out the chants in unison? White people protest like this. Black people protest like this. So I was just like, what the fuck? And you know, so they clear it out to do my sound check. And then,
is there people there or just the protest people?
Like, just the protest people. There are people there
to watch. I mean, to watch the show or like to watch you. I mean,
like they start filing in.
Okay,
and I'm like, okay, I'm watching them, and then, you know, I'm seeing people with the signs, showing up, like they're sitting down to watch, and I'm like, okay,
I feel for you.
Yeah,
man.
I'm like,
this is your first show?
It's my first college. It's my first college.
Damn,
I've never done an hour, so. I start looking up facts about the school to try to write jokes.
Yeah, I've done that.
And then
how many bad jokes I've done about school mascot?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Hey guys. But I went to the University of Maryland. Ours is a terp. A turtle. That was my punchline.
That kills. A turtle.
You sick.
This guy's great. So I'm like writing jokes, I find the school's confessions page. So I didn't know this, but a
what
lot of schools
that?
Will have confessions pages where people will send in fake confessions, and then the school will tweet it out.
Oh,
this is when Twitter
that.
Was still
when
like,
still just happening.
A lot of kids on college were still using Twitter.
Yeah,
and I don't know if these confessions were real or not.
Yeah,
but then one of them was specifically about this girl. Like a lot of them were about this girl, like how they thought she was
about
hot.
This girl.
So a specific
so they're
girl.
Not confessions. They're
gossip.
This is
gossip. Yeah,
but they were all like, oh, I like this girl, this specific girl. They would say the girl's name. Like, she's so hot. She's so beautiful. And
is this Miss Connections and Craigslist?
Basically, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'm just going to like say these confessions and then I'll get the crowd on my side.
Yeah.
And so I went up and like, and immediately I noticed black people on the left, white people on the right.
Wow.
It was like that
like
intense.
Like the 50s.
Yeah, I was like, oh, holy shit. And I was like, "What's?" I still remember the name of the event. I was like, "What's up, y'all? It's good to be here. You know, the event, you know, I'm happy to be here for fun before finals." And before I could even say anything else, this kid pulls up this sign that says Black Lives Matter. And I was just like, yeah, so y'all got some crazy confessions. So I start reading the confessions, and everyone's just kind of staring at me, and I'm just like, yeah. And then I get to the one about the girl, and then everyone kind of goes crazy.
Oh.
White people, black people, and everyone's just like, ooh, this girl. And then I was like, oh, so y'all know this girl? They're like, yeah, we know this girl. And I was just like, so what's the deal with her? Like, also, who's her agent? Because everyone's talking about her, and I need representation.
Yeah.
And that got people on my side. And then I started to talk about, like, my life and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then around, like, I want to say like 20 minutes in, I'm like doing like bad crowd work on people. Like, what's your major? Like that kind of thing. And then fucking the black people just get up.
Because it was time for the
protest. And they walk outside and I could hear them protesting.
Yeah.
But then some of the kids stayed.
Some of the kids,
some of the kids with signs just stayed and watched the rest of the show. Uh-huh. And it was a really good show. And as soon as I got off stage, like a bunch of kids surrounded me and shit. I don't say it was a good show. It was like good for.
I wouldn't have been able to stop mentioning that. If I knew the protest was starting in a half an hour, I probably would have spent a good 5 minutes of my set. I'm going to convince you guys to stay in your seat.
And you say you didn't have an hour? So what did you do?
I did a lot of crowd work. Just talked, and then like I closed on
like the bit that you're like waiting for. Like I need 10 more minutes to finally pull this one.
and then I you know, they gave me my check as soon as I got off stage.
Nice.
And then they're like, I was talking to these kids, and I was like, yeah, it's fucked up what y'all was happening here. As soon as the check was in my pocket, I was like, it's so fucked up. That's what's going down.
You got the
down.
Check, and you grab your
and
sign.
And my Afro pick came out of nowhere, and I was like, another thing.
Now let's go.
Yeah.
I'm going to the
protest. And then I went to get some food. I'm forgetting this comic's name. He's so funny. He's passed. Oh, I said. So then I'm getting some food with the student representative, and they're like, "You were funny," and I was like, "Thanks." He's like, "But you're not the funniest comic we've ever seen." And I was like, "Yeah."
Oh, nice.
And they're like, "Who's the funny?" I was like, "Who's the funniest?" And like, "Look, you're not. Look, I gotta tell you right now, the best comic we've ever had and we will ever have is Jesus Trejo." And I'm like, "Oh, I love Jesus." I was like, "Oh, yeah. That he was amazing. Fuck you."
Nice.
He's like, "I mean, you didn't have to tell me that, but yeah. I know it's Jesus." And it was just like. Like as soon as I got back to the hotel, I had overwhelmed with a fever, and I just was like,
you were sick.
I was sick when this was all happening, so I just was like it was such an interesting experience.
Yeah,
and like I had all those shows that I had were booked back to back for the following week. So I'd fly out, come back home, wait a week, fly out again, come back home. So I did like four colleges in 1 month.
Wow.
So it was like a big learning experience. And then towards the end, I kind of like knew how to do an hour.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't a good hour.
Yeah. But you had the, you know. I think those are the things we're forced to do it, but then we kind of like grew up. I mean, we grew up quickly on those things because we have to like, fuck it. Because that happened to me
it's
too.
It's
like,
good for the process too. Because
that's what I mean.
Even Edinburgh shows and stuff, you're doing an hour and there's a lot of people who aren't ready. But you go up there and by the end of the month, your hour's gotten better. And
my friend Evan said, he's like, you got to do an hour. You got to do an hour before you can do an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just
how
it
just
is.
Have to do it.
You just have to
literally do it.
Yeah.
And then now I know what I can do.
Yeah. Even if you've got like three separate awesome 20s.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter.
It's cohesive.
They go, now all I got to do is do all three of them. Doesn't work that way.
No, it's a huge. I mean, I remember when started just even doing 5 minutes was a lot.
It was huge for you.
You know, and now you're just doing
now I'm like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, what am I going to talk about 5 minutes?
Hello, goodbye.
Yeah.
really? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, this is awesome, man. We ran out of time, but
it flew by, didn't it?
We flew by.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay,
we had
thanks so much for having me.
Where do people can find you? Social media.
Instagram is my main thing. Okay. Go to my Instagram, Swanky Opie, OPEY, and I think I'm. I got a date.
Yeah, if you have any.
I'm doing comedy work south on March 3rd to the 6th.
So nice. Come That's through. That's in Denver, right?
In Denver, yeah. Nice. It's going to be me. I'm co-headlining with Andrew Lopez and Benny and Bazuna. So cool. All three of us are doing 30 minutes. So
nice.
Come watch us.
It'll That's awesome. Yeah. No protest that day.
No protest. Please don't protest.
That's great. And
you can protest. I get paid either way.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. Now you know how to handle it.
Now I know how to handle it, yeah.
No, thank you. Thanks so much for coming. And yeah, please.
We got our, well, we still want to ask the final
Yeah,
question.
We have that. No, I just want to say, people, just before we have the question, to please subscribe to the podcast as usual, to the YouTube page, to our Instagram, follow us there on Twitter. If you have any questions, please DM us, and also on Spotify and iTunes as well. And I do have a day too as well in Texas. I'm gonna be in Houston on March 9th, Dallas March 10th, and San Antonio on March 13th. So if you're there, please come to the shows.
Amazeballs, do you know the day? I don't even know what date this one's coming out.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's in March.
I was gonna say
they drop it after my weekend. I'm like, hey, yo,
this comes out next year.
Yeah, because at the end of this month, I'm opening for Jim Jefferies in if you're in Pennsylvania, Boston, and DC. Like you
All
guys,
the DMV,
DC
go see them.
You guys
go see
are
them
gonna
boys.
Give me some DC tips.
Yes, yeah,
because which
sure.
is gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Sweet. Buddy, yeah, we'd like to ask one final question.
Sure.
Before our guests take off into the evening. When you're traveling and stuff, do you have a favorite piece of advice you like to give people? A little piece of travel advice.
Yeah, don't eat at the airport, ever. It's a bad plan.
Why?
Because it's like the food's never going to be good for you. Mm. Like every time I
like
eat
healthy.
Healthy.
And it's also overpriced.
Yeah, it's overpriced. Yeah. It's I mean, like a banana is like $4. It's like this may be the best banana I've ever eaten. It never is. But like I always try to bring snacks at the airport, something that'll keep
So you bring your stuff till you get to the final destination.
Exactly.
Okay.
Once I get to my final destination, I eat light and like that way I don't feel too trash or shitty.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's my main advice. Don't eat at the airport.
That's good advice on many levels.
Yeah.
The value is crap.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the price. I mean, it's just crazy prices just for stuff that's like, you could just get this.
You're just bringing it with you.
Yeah. No, and it's, sometimes I think that's a great advice, especially to bring your snacks for something that I can keep, because now they're not even giving away food at
during
the planes anyway.
People should remember about like water bottles as well.
That's
stuff
true.
Like that. I think a lot of people don't know that you can take the water bottle through security if it's empty.
Yeah,
I mean, some people do, but a lot of people don't, because I've had conversations with people that are like, you can't take that bottle pack.
It's like, no, you gotta dump it.
If it's empty, it's the water they're worried about for some reason, not the bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
So save yourself the $5.
But shout out to United, though. United still gives out that one Stroop waffle. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, that little waffle thing.
Thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, United with the Stroop waffles. I have bought tickets. I'm like, you know what? They got the Stroop on. I'll go like $50 more because I know that I'm going to get that Stroop
There you
waffle.
Go. Who needs status when you got a waffle?
Yeah,
I like my status. I'm sorry. I like my American status. Americans.
You go to American Airlines?
Yeah, that's the one I have. They don't. Yeah, they give those cookies, which I never liked. It's like, and then I'll eat the pretzels once in a while.
Everyone's gonna give you some Cheez-Its. You're like, this is gonna get stuck in my mouth.
Yeah.
I gotta wear a mask now. I got this Cheez-Its stuck in my mouth. You guys are terrorists.
Well, thanks very much for coming, man.
Thanks
we appreciate
for having
it,
me, guys.
All right,
appreciate
y'all. Awesome.
Peace. Bye, Aloop.